Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Sweatcast. I'm your host Scott Hilford, joined by Joms Deuce.
That's Joms not even Deuce.
Joms Deuce
and Special Josh guest. Braun, the also heat. Known as James Dowse.
The heat has gone to your brain, my friend. You've got the cordyceps brain there.
It's been a hell of a long day. Mr. James Dowse is in this room somewhere, and Josh Brown as well.
Hello.
So we thought we'd do a question and answer podcast, do a nice little, Josh, you referred to it as a chill heatwave podcast, which is in itself makes about as much sense as my introduction, but we'll get through as many questions as we can as you do a little face.
Well, this is it, man. I just thought, you know, today, you know, none of us have the brain power to talk about the industry in the depth that we normally do. So I thought, you know, why don't we answer some fun questions and just try to take our minds off the heat outside, and hopefully whoever is listening to this, take your mind also off the nightmarish heat wave that we've had
by the time this is done. I think it's meant to like rain ludicrously or something after this. Yeah. So there's a chance that this goes up and it makes no sense at all, because the half the UK will be underwater by then.
Nah, man, my good friends at BBC Weather told me that it was still 23 degrees tomorrow. So rain or not, it's still going to be wham. It's still
going to be consistency. Is it a little bit George Michael?
It's a little bit George Michael. That's exactly what I was going to say. You can finish my sandwiches. You are so good.
So basically, I put the call out on Twitter. I said, look, as many questions as you can get to us in the next hour, and we'll get through as many as we can. So we will do just that. First question from the Irish Patriot, who says, best platform game of all time, and why is it Hercules on the PlayStation 1? James Dowse, are you in agreement?
No. Platformer, like the platforming genre as a whole, I'm assuming. I disagree with you there and say it is Super Mario Galaxy.
Oh, not Super Mario Galaxy 64. My gut goes to Crash Bandicoot 3, but that might also be insanity. Josh Brown, where do you come in?
Well, first off, I want to say that I think they have got it in one, because Hercules on the PlayStation 1 was the first game I ever played. So, of course, that holds a soft spot in my heart. However, if I was going to say my actual, you know, not 4-year-old opinion of that game, it probably doesn't hold up as well as Crash Bandicoot 2, which is officially the best platformer of all time. Crash Bandicoot 3 can suck it, because 3 is because 2 is where it's at. God, the heat is going to my brain.
It is not where it's at. It was never where it's at. And Crash 3 is, I was going to say, is the only good one. It's not. It's just one of the best ones.
Do you mean Wrath of Cortex is the best one? Was that what
I mean? That no.
Wrath of Cortex one. Is underrated.
It is great. It is the first Crash I played, and arguably the best one.
Oh, this is Josh's Final Fantasy logic, and I can't get with that. It really is.
Wrath of Cortex has really good bosses. Sorry to jump in there, Scott. Yeah. I'm going to just kind of go against you for a second because Crash 3 I love. Crash 3 might be the Crash game that I've played the most. You know, I loved it as a kid. However, it's also the most gimmicky. And as an adult, if I'm talking about pure platforming, it has too many racing segments. It has too many flying segments. It has too many underwater segments for me to enjoy it as much as I do Crash 2, which I think is tight and perfect.
What you are saying is that there are fundamentally scientifically less platforms in Crash Bandicoot 3, which I can massively get behind that, to be honest. If we're grading on a platform ratio, then maybe Neon White is the best platformer ever made.
But outrageous.
It's a tough time.
What do you guys think about... Sorry, James. I was going to say,
my weird take is that I prefer Spyro to Crash.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I knew there was something... off about you, James Dowd.
To be fair,
when those trilogies came out, Spyro was the one I 100%ed over Crash.
I'll back that because I think that the way that they remade the Spyro trilogy is just more consistent and just better quality than the remake of the Crash trilogy because they took Crash 3's physics and they put them in Crash 1 and 2, which meant all the muscle memory not work.
Who cares, man?
As an old man, there's got to latch onto something in this world. But yeah, I think if you're going to compare the gimmickiness of Crash 3 and the gimmickiness of Spyro 3, then I still love Crash 3, but Crash 3 doesn't have a penguin with a rocket launcher, does it? It's a tough line to split.
You also can't skateboard in Crash 3, if I recall. If they added skateboarding in, maybe you would have been able to go up against Spyro.
Of all the skateboarding minigames and skateboarding modes that made their way into video games, how did Metal Gear Solid get one and Crash didn't? How is that the timeline we're on?
Maybe it's too obvious, man. Like, Crash was supposed to be hip, wasn't he? He was supposed to be cool. Maybe giving him a kind of skateboard would be like giving him tribal tattoos. Oh, wait, they did that, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
They did do that. But next question, Dan, what's your favorite ice cream? And then brackets on a stick. So I guess it depends. You can have tub if you want, or you can have one of those spherical, east side of Japanese.
It has to be on a stick.
Well, brackets on a stick, so it's up to you, mate.
Okay.
What's your favorite ice cream?
Surely, on a cone every time. And you know what? I always have the same order. The same order with ice cream. Just one, mint choc chip every time. No variation. Sometimes vanilla, if that's all my mom and dad have in. But if I'm going to the shop, it's mint choc chip and it's on a cone with a flake in.
Oh, I think I do back that. I can back that. I just think that, what's that strawberry raspberry ripple? I like the raspberry ripple. I like the word ripple and I'm a big fan of the raspberry ripple. Just to throw it together.
I'm a big Cornetto man.
Which flavor?
I'll go for the strawberry, but I like the chocolate one as well. I would like to carry on with chocolate fudge brownie from Ben & Jerry's.
Okay.
Outstanding flavor. But if my go-to is a 99 at a little, like a pack.
They're £2.50 now.
That's a joke.
I can't even think where it's, it might be Jackson's Landing in the northeast of England. And it was five English pounds for a 99. You're still called a 99. I know I sound about 90 years old now, but good Lord, mate.
What is a 99 actually called? Surely it's not called a 99.
No, they trademarked it. Cadbury's bought the 99 trademark, and that was when they started jacking it up because they can fundamentally call it a 99. They can charge whatever they want. It's a stupid loophole. I know, right? It's like the original microtransaction push.
What I never knew is that in the northeast, you all call it monkey blood, strawberry sauce. Yes. That never heard that
what
before. The strawberry sauce. Strawberry sauce. Yeah.
I don't know why it's monkey's blood.
Because the Geordie man was like, would you like any monkey blood? I'm like, I don't know what that meant. I don't know what you just said to me then.
Was that Jim Ryan?
That's what he offers in the executive lounge. Just some monkey blood.
Hey, I used to be scared of monkey's blood when I was a kid. I would never get any kind of thing on my ice cream. It would literally be a flake and then a Mr. Whippy and that's it. But I think just like Northerners are just inherently more creative, James Dowse. I think that's why we get monkey's blood. You just get strawberry sauce. Like, monkey's blood has a lot of mystery to it. You don't know that is, it could literally be blood for all you know, which is why I was always
scared.
That's
what I thought it was when I was a kid. Also, shout out to Monkey Puzzle Trees. Three people are going to know what they are, but Monkey Puzzle Trees are also a thing that are nicknamed in the Northeast. No, they're just actual trees. Carry on.
Could I ask a question?
Well, no, this is a tree where a monkey can't climb.
Yes.
They're everywhere.
But that's what you guys call it. It's a tree that a monkey can't climb. Well, I don't know. Monkey Puzzle Trees.
Okay.
Josh Brown, you were going to say something.
Yes, I was just going to ask you, both of you mentioned strawberry-flavored ice cream there. Yes. Now, yeah. For me, I'm branching this off from ice cream to just sweets generally. You know, if you had like a fruit pastel or if you had, you know, any other kind of sweet.
A sweet shared universe.
I've never been a strawberry man and I've never been a raspberry man because I always go for the greens and the purples when it comes to any kind of sweet treat. So I go for the mince when it comes to ice cream and I go for the apple flavored sweets like when I have a fruit pastel. No. And I used to think that was normal. I used to think everyone preferred the greens and the purples, but when I kind of went to university and expanded my mind a little bit, I realized that most people that I know now like the reds. Like
you went down the post office, you realize you've been living a lie.
The guy at the post office was like, "You're not going to send that parcel if you don't give me 4 raspberry sweets." And I was like,
"You need to get yourself on the raspberry ripple."
It's so you'd intentionally eat the green Starbursts.
I would only eat the green.
Starbursts. The lime ones, opal fruits. It's the way forward.
Oh, man. Like, see, this is perfect. This is why we compliment each other, because do we have good chats on podcasts, but when we eat sweets, you can have all the ones I don't want, and you won't be feeling like they're trade-offs, you know what I mean? You'll be like, those are the good stuff. And I'll be like, yeah, man.
I'll massively back that. We've successfully done 2 questions. So next question, which is more of a statement from Matthew McGowan, who says, not a question, but nobody ever talks about Jade Empire. KOTOR, Mass Effect, Dragon Age all get talked about, but everyone forgets Jade Empire. It's not a hidden gem. It's a forgotten masterpiece. Now, I've never finished Jade Empire, but I do back that it's a bit of I would say a forgotten gem to hybridize the two. But I don't know where you guys come down on Jade Empire.
Never heard of it. that's why nobody talks about it.
He thinks Final Fantasy is all separate and he has not heard of Jade Empire. I've got the homework this week.
I never played Jade Empire, which is weird because I loved BioWare's stuff, but just never went back to play it. So I actually don't have a horse in this race either, but I know people who love Jade Empire, bloody love Jade Empire.
I know Jules does. Like, Jade Empire is just because it's such an Eastern-themed BioWare RPG. Like, it's such a cool game. They should absolutely bring it back out or refine the combat, and it would be perfect. I think the reason that a lot of people bounce off it is because of the combat. Next question from Josh Youngman, who says, have any of you ever felt a weird, anxious inertia about starting a new game and just gone back to the old faithfuls instead? If so, how did you get past it? Mr. James Dowse is nodding.
So Ghost of Tsushima was my, and currently still is my big one, where I really want to play it and I hover over it and then I instead play literally anything else.
Is it Fortnite again?
Really want to
see you coming.
Hey, Scott, you said it. I didn't say it. But, like, I really, really want to play it, but the anxiety of just getting back into it. Same with Dark Souls 2. That's next on my list. And I don't want to do it because I know what it's like. The anxiety is coming back to me. So I just play Rocket League or Fortnite or whatever. Very bad to talk about on podcasts because, like, that's all I ever refer back to, Fortnite. But sadly, it's true.
I think this is a great question because I think this is something that happens to like a lot of people and then we don't really talk about it because it just seems like a strange problem to have. Like, why do you get anxiety about starting a new game? You know, I've got it recently where, you know, me and Scott talked in the Monday podcast, The Wind Up, about how I had a bit of a break and then I suddenly got back to games with a real hunger and I had like a list of 10 things that I wanted to play. However, having a list is fine, but actually committing to one in knowing that it's going to take 50 hours of your life before you get to the next one, that's where my anxiety starts. So I've started Oblivion recently, and I've kind of been trepidatious, and I haven't been enjoying it as much as I want to because I'm thinking about all of the other games that I could be playing. And that is something that I haven't had in a long time. I used to get it really bad during university where you would have set time off, and I would want to get through games as quickly as possible, you know, in the weeks and sometimes months that I had off. But I was just always thinking about the next game. And that's come back to me in this past year in a way that it never has before. And it's kind of weirdly stressful, man, because you want to experience them and you don't want to rush through them. You want to give each game, you know, its due. But when those games can take you 50 to 100 hours, that is imposing.
Yes, I massively back that. And this is my reason that it puts me off films sometimes, where I'm like a 3-hour film. I'm like, that's my evening gone. Like, I just sort of, I'd rather do something else than that. In most cases, I'd rather play a game or whatever it is. I don't necessarily get anxiety over it, but my thing is returning to saves. Like, if I'm returning to a save and that initial, like, I load the thing up and I'm like, I don't even know what I was doing. I don't know what was going on. I feel like every game needs like a mandated, like a 5-minute recap thing. And each dev can choose how they want to do it, whether it's like a digital comic or just a bunch of text on the screen or whatever. But Dragon's Quest XI has that where it just comes up with text and just says, hey, look, you've not been on here for a while. Here's what you were doing. And just give me like a recap thing. Because like I said, I don't necessarily get anxiety, but I get like, oh my God, I just don't need this, or I'd rather start over again, or whatever. That's what I've been doing with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I thought I'd go back through that game because I never actually finished it. And that's the thing. I know that game is like, I don't know, 60, 80 hours long. Like, it's one of those things. But it's just something to sort of pick away at. But yeah, I can definitely empathize with that idea of how the hell do you even just sign on for like 80 hours of your life trying to make it work.
What you just mentioned there actually kind of adds to my anxiety, because if I start something of that length, I have to finish it because I can't go back to it because of the reasons that you mentioned. Like, I couldn't pick up my Oblivion save after 40 hours after taking a month off, because it would just stop the momentum dead and I wouldn't be enjoying it as much as I used to. That's why I like to like finish games before moving on to the next thing rather than juggling a lot of stuff, because I know myself tragically too well to understand that if I go back to a game that I've half finished a month after the fact, there's no way I'm getting back.
I went back to Fable 3 after 10 years and that save was just me in a field. And I don't even know what's going on. I didn't restart the whole thing to get something from that. Next question from Jack Asbury. Also, massive shout out to Jack Asbury. I copied one of his questions over for the Entitled Banter podcast and didn't include his name, so I referred to him as Anonymous Legend last week. He's made himself known on Twitter. So massive shout out to Jack Asbury. And he says, been replaying Grand Theft Auto 4 recently and just want to ask your thoughts on the remaster being cancelled. Also, isn't it weird how back then the game got two huge single-player expansions? I guess when you contrast to where Rockstar are now, they're just completely different entities. But Mr. James Dowse, what do you think of the way Rockstar's handled things?
I'd have loved a DLC for GTA 5, but why would they? They know that it's not worth it. It's just money-wise, why would you bin money?
All the story stuff they were going to do is like in the online thing now. It just has single-player cutscenes.
But have you played any of those? That's all, both of you?
Not me.
Any of them? No. You haven't, haven't you, Josh?
Only some of the heists, yeah, but I haven't played. I think there's one where like Franklin comes into it again, and I've not played that one. It was only like the tangential characters who were involved in the ones I did.
Isn't like Dr. Dre a main character now?
I was going to say he's on the artwork, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a character.
What he's up to, but he's,
But it's just GTA 4, I loved all of the DLC for that. They were fantastic games, but they're not going to do it, are they? Just release more trilogies.
Yeah. I think, I mean, that's the big question with GTA 6 is like, how do you even carry on GTA Online? Is it like a separate location you can fly to or something like that? Like, I don't know what they do, but yeah, Rockstar, I like the definitive edition, how broken that thing was, that made me go, okay, I'm done. Like, you don't care anymore. Like, you're a different thing entirely. All the creative leads that I used to love have all left. So, yeah, it is weird. But at the same time, if you look at the staff changeover, like, Rockstar are just not fundamentally the same company anymore in terms of the people that were leading those projects. Next question from someone called Daniel Durkin, who says, one specifically for Mr. James Dowse, how does it feel to get three big old dubs in three games on the bus? Fan. Now, is this Fortnite language in our...
Yes, big dub, all that stuff. Dan, this one's for you. Great time. All right, next question.
From Teddy the Elf, who says, will we do more War Culture Gaming quizzes, and would we do ones that are focused on specific franchises like we did for Sonic that one time forever ago? Quizzes are a thing that we've done a big old amount of. James, are you going to dive in there?
Sorry. Yeah, I feel like I could. I don't want to bore people with the logistics of it, but we've got this huge office for it, but we've been waiting to do them again. But it's just it's getting a lot of people all at once in the same room during after COVID. Nobody likes doing that anymore. It's a lot harder than it was.
Yes, the COVID numbers fluctuating makes it very hard. The state of the office, the improvements that we need to make to the building, things like that change it. The fact that we had to hire scaffolding to make one of the setups work in the first place was pretty funny. There was once mentioned of a gunge tank. I don't know if that's ever going to be a thing.
We'll hope so.
But I mean, yeah, I'm game for that stuff. The last one that I did was the GTA one. I like the more franchise-specific ones. Yes, we'd love to. It's just a case of waiting until it's safe enough and it logistically makes sense for the amount of people that we can get in one place. Next question from Mike, who says, who is the best Guitar Hero player at War Culture? Now, usually that I would have said me, but I bombed my ass off when I went back to Guitar Hero when we were... It was me and Mr. James Dowse. I think you might have seen it live. We went to played.
It's a lot harder now.
Yeah, I went back to it. I've not played it in a long time. I used to be able to hang on Expert. I used to be able to keep up. I couldn't do all of Dragon Force, but I could do some of it. But I was the guy on Expert with the old orange fret having a whale of a time. And I went back to it when we were out and about at some place with a Guitar Hero arcade machine. And I was like, oh, you look at me, you know, big dickers. And I couldn't hang at all. So it's I died.
But I think everyone likes to say that they're going to be the best Guitar Hero player, because I wouldn't say I was the best Guitar Hero player.
Right.
However, I would throw my hat in and say I was the best bass Guitar Hero player, because that used to be, for lack of a better term, my main. When we were like, you know, it, as a group, you know, I would either do the drums or I would do bass, and I could do that quite well. However,
we should do you on bass and Mr. James Dowse also on real bass playing the same song and see if I don't even know if they how they link up. But
there we go. Yeah. That's the next quiz. That's the next quiz. Sort that out. We only need two people for that.
That's the next foray into the
actual audio coming from, Matt, me or Josh hitting plastic.
Well, I guess you'd see that's whoever takes the beauty of it. If you manage to string a bunch of notes together, you take over, and that's the that's the competitive aspect. See,
this is why we don't do quizzes anymore, because that's our best idea for quiz.
What if Guitar Hero from 2007? Next question from PG Quips, who says, now we know how Gollum felt as he sang into the fiery hell of Mount Doom. So with that in mind, what's everyone's favorite Lord of the Rings game? Kicking down those towers on the kicking down those ladders on two towers is hard to beat. I might back that. I was always a two towers guy. I feel like that's the Tony Hawk's 2 vs 3 argument of the Lord of the Rings games.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Go on, Dowse. Quick question, Josh.
Have you talked about Gollum yet?
Not really.
Since we did that a little trailer the other day.
A trailer may or may not have come out about the Lord of the Rings Gollum, showing off how it finally plays, and it may or may not be abysmal. But I am not going to pass judgment on that game until I play it, because it's the most anticipated game of the year and could even knock Elden Ring off its top spot. But we'll see. For now, tentatively, I would say the best Lord of the Rings game is Lord of the Rings Gollum. But until I can say that for sure, I was always a Return of the King guy. Like, I love Two Towers, of course. I think they're like, you know, neck and neck. I preferred the color palette of Return of the, the King. And I enjoy the ghost soldiers who are in some of the levels.
Two Towers had a slow motion cheat, which they took out of Return of the King, and that was always the thing that edged it for me. I used to always go on Two Towers, bang the slow motion cheat on, and just defend Helm's Deep in slow motion. That young me thought that was the epitome of life.
Well, that does. That absolutely rocks. I will say, though, I'll throw in, I never actually finished it, but I loved, was it Battle for Middle-earth? It was like the turn-based combat
really big
one.
RTS one.
No,
dude, you're thinking of Third Age, which was incredible. Dude, yes, I'd love Third Age.
That was awesome. Like, I, growing up, you know, I well documented, I never liked turn-based combat, but I loved it in Lord of the Rings Third Age.
You've never revealed this before. You're always like, oh, turn-based ain't for me. If you liked Third Age, there's a seed in you that I can water the F out of. You'd love that.
This is the thing, though. I mean, I loved it when I was 11 years old, you know? I don't know if I will love it now.
You love Blink 182 back then too. There's a way to make it work. James Dow's favorite Lord of the Rings game.
I don't know what that is. Never seen the films. Whatever. Carry on.
Is that a new Amazon?
No. I joke. What was the one where you put the ladders down? You knocked ladders down.
That was Two Towers. I think there's probably a bit of that in Return of the King and the Minister
that's
and
the
stuff.
Only bit I remember from those games.
I think that's because that was the big like showpiece bit of defending Helm's Deep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a good
But going
time.
Back to what you said earlier about like anxiety about like going into games and whatever, my biggest anxiety is going into the Lord of Rings films. There's a reason I've not seen them. It's because 4 hours long or whatever they are. I can't do that.
Only the extended ones, which I will always hang my hat, if that's the phrase, suck. Watch the theatrical ones. The extended stuff.
I've only ever heard the opposite.
I know. That's all everyone always told me. And I'm a big Lord of the Rings guy. Literally Lord of the Rings themed wedding. But I could not get away with the extended stuff. It just, you could tell that those scenes were removed. They're shot like in a, just, they look lower budget. Watch the theatrical cuts. They're 2.5 hours, maybe three.
Right.
Dude, you if you like your fantasy, you like Elden Ring, you'd find something to like.
Fantasies. Yeah.
I reckon in the old Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
How about instead I don't do that and I just watch a playthrough of Lord of the Rings Gollum.
As long as you're happy, mate. As long as you get something to get you through the week. Why does Gollum's character model look like when you leave a potato in a cupboard for too long? He just looks like a weird, elongated.
I'm having
thing.
No Gollum slander on this chat, man. Like, the guy looks good. The guy's had a glow up, if anything, from the actual movies. He's had a he's got a nice bit of hair. He's got a good little trim in this new game, and he's got a nice little loincloth, and his skin's looking better. So don't you be slagging him off in front of me. I won't be happy with it.
If you took an onion and stuck a toothpick in it and then stuck that into a potato, that's what he looks like.
Listen, some might say that about you, Scott Tilford, but would I be on here saying it out loud? You know what I mean?
Yes, you better. Someone should. If someone needs to point that out, then they do. Lord of the Rings Gollum would be a miracle if that game's any good. But next question from Vin Van Meel, who says, ahoy lads from each of the big three console manufacturers. What is one thing they do well, one thing they do poorly, and one thing you're looking forward to? Much love, especially to the saucy minx known as Josh Brune.
Oh, thank you very much.
There he is.
Yeah, he's just...
made my day that. Me and Gollum looking like the best... bloody most hot duo you've ever seen.
Sure. I think you should go first with this. So you've got one thing each of the three console manufacturers does well, one thing they do poorly, and one thing you're looking forward to.
Start with Sony. Sony is great at making high quality single player games. Some of the best stories in the entire industry come from that publisher. However, they are very, very poor at supporting any peripherals that they may want to release. They have always been terrible at doing anything other than the core console. PSVR is kind of the exception. They did well with that, and I'm looking forward to PSVR too. But the fact that they don't have a handheld, the fact that they aren't like looking at things outside of the regular PlayStation console ecosystem, to me always seems like something that they should beyond, because yes, they've tried in the past with the PSP, the PS Vita, and whatnot, and to varying degrees of success. But I think a lot of that is actually self-inflicted, because they release these things and then kind of fail to give them the support they need. And I want to see them fully throw their weight behind a handheld or something else, even if it's PSVR 2, and treat it like they would, you know, their first-party studios or their flagship consoles, because I feel like they just kind of go, hey, do you want this? And people say, I don't know, why should we care? And they go, I don't know.
Well, Sony, do you want to buy a unique memory card just for the Vita? No, not even
50%. Sorry, I was going to go on to Microsoft. When it comes to Microsoft, I think they're great, especially recently, at kind of like being pro-consumer. You know, Game Pass is excellent. Their kind of game preservation kind of side of things is cool. And I think it's just ultimately their biggest strength is giving players choice. You know, they're not really restrictive in the same way that Sony is. They've always been open to things like crossplay, to things like, you know, being able to play the best games and the biggest games on whatever system you want to own. I think they've always been great for that and not restricting their machines. However, that may come at the price of some quality, because I don't think they're necessarily great at producing games that kind of stick in the memory like Sony or even Nintendo does, you know, especially recently. They've got all of these studios and yet they haven't produced anything, in my opinion, on the level of The Last of Us or Horizon.
No,
or
of Tsushima. What even was like that last, I guess Halo turned heads, but like that's about it. Like it's not, there's not a solid catalog there, but I do wish they would put more effort into the first party stuff, or the big sort of marketing stuff. Yeah.
100%. I don't think it's necessarily a novel criticism, but they're definitely quantity over quality, and that kind of has its perks, certainly. But yeah, that's kind of what drags them
down. Power Wash Simulator on Game Pass, right?
Totally,
now.
Man, I'll play that. Nintendo, very quickly, they're great at like making the best platformers you've ever played, innovating on genres when it comes to the select genres that they go for. But they're terrible at being, they're terrible at like rewarding their players at all in their fans. Yep. And like, if you are a fan of Nintendo, you are hard done by, because the games that you want to play are going to be probably locked off from you, or you're going to have to suffer, you know, artificial shortages when it comes to amiibos, or when it comes to, you know, things like the mini SNES, or even games now with Mario 3D All-Stars. If you just a Nintendo fan, you have to suffer through some of the worst practices in this industry and just kind of accept it, I guess.
No, I'd massively back that. I don't know if I read this question wrong, but I think it's easier for the sake of, unless me and Dals go through all of the companies again, I would largely just echo your stuff. And then Dals, if you want to throw anything in terms of what you're looking forward to or whatever.
Agree with it all, and just to carry on with the Nintendo thing, they're just very anti-consumer. They really don't like their fans.
It's funny because the PlayStation Stars stuff just got announced in terms of their rewards program, and it's like, look at what Xbox are doing. And someone messaged on Twitter to say, like, Xbox's rewards program, the Microsoft rewards program, is more in-depth, way more in-depth now than it used to be. I remember when it first launched, it was just, you can get £5 off a high street voucher, or you can get £5 off you know, some sort of tie-in thing, whereas now it's a lot more rewarding overall. You can save up enough points to get access to something that is on the store, so you are rewarded for playing more games. But the Nintendo side of that is just, do you want a laptop wallpaper? Do you want a mobile icon or something? It's very, very little in terms of this is a similar program. And so I think, like, it must be back that Nintendo just, they just do stuff. And they've just sort of done stuff for so long that we always just go, whatever, you're over there. But even sometimes it is nefarious as hell. And as they sort of push into the space that they're into now, where they release a game that is ostensibly early access and then just sort of patch it in later, like Mario Tennis Aces, there's the golf game. It feels like they get away with it because that core is so polished. But Mario Strikers was threadbare as well. But
Daisy's coming today. Yeah.
Is she coming today?
Yeah, well, at some point, yeah. But, like, why is that a good thing? Because that should have been in the game at the beginning.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, Strikers is, like, it's two modes and then an online mode.
But they shipped 75% of a game, and then with every wave DLC for free after that, it's just the rest 5%. And it's just, why? It's just a terrible practice how they've done it.
Well, the customization stuff as well in that game is very, very little. Like, feels like it may be designed to be a year-long thing, but it's not like they've advertised it that way.
All they run on is creating that Smash Brothers character reveal hype every single time, because they know what they're going to do with the Mario Kart DLC tracks. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to hype against that. Daisy coming today for Strikers, the hype's there again. Yep. It's just constant, like, little video hypes every time now. That's Nintendo's marketing strategy now.
Mm-hmm. I do think to speak of something they do well, I think that, like, obviously they pioneered all the Nintendo Direct stuff, and I think that is a really good way to deliver a series of announcements. You don't need the bluster of, like, a live event. You can just do a half hour of straight bangers, like, in a row. And I feel like the amount that, especially PlayStation, have just copied that does speak to a strength in terms of how people want to respond to being shown new stuff. For a weakness for Sony, communication. like just ditch the blog stuff. Like, what the hell are you guys doing in relation to telling people what is going on with your new products and your new PSVR 2 stuff or God of War's release date? It's just on a blog with a 15-second teaser again. Stuff like that, I think they could do a lot better with that. And also, I just think they could do a hell of a lot better with the PlayStation Premium service. Like, for people like me who forked out for the top tier stuff, it's like you get two games this month in addition to the ones from last month. There's a bunch of Assassin's Creed stuff for the mid-tier, for PlayStation Extra, PlayStation Plus Extra. But the premium stuff, in terms of like a PS1 library or whatever, it's like two games, and they're not even anything notable. Dino Crisis leaked and then was removed. It was on the Italian store for a bit, and now it's not there. It's like, sort yourself out, Sony.
Well, Stray's coming out today, Scott. Oh, yesterday.
It's 6 p.m. What the hell is that?
Why not midnight release?
Yeah, why is that not a midnight release? It's like a weird thing. And then their store was all weirdly functioning last night as well. I guess because they're updating it with all the Ubisoft Plus stuff. But it's like, yeah, what kind of release date is 6 p.m.? I was like, let me play your stuff. Or communicate that it's not going to be available at midnight. Like, just, you know.
The Forza Horizon 5 Hot Wheels DLC comes out at 7 p.m. today for us.
Just randomly, just the heat delay.
Whatever time they want.
Yeah. But yeah, overall, things we're looking forward to. We should run them down. Mr. James Dowse, do you want Sony, Xbox, or Nintendo?
Oh, God. How can I ever choose
Nintendo?
Would you like
a functioning Halo?
Yeah. Screw it. Yeah. I want a game that works. I want, because obviously for Halo right now, they're showing off campaign co-op, which is 9 months after launch, and then Forge is coming soon, a year after launch.
In theory, that game will eventually
be a finished game, Max.
Yes, I would like that as well. Mr. Josh Brown from The Three, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, I had it in my brain and now it's gone. The heat has evaporated. I don't know if this is true. There have been a lot of rumors about it over the past few months and we've reported on it. But one thing I am looking forward to, should it happen, is Fallout New Vegas 2. If that ever happens with Microsoft now owning Bethesda, now owning Obsidian, like, that would be an ultimate player for me, and I would never stop talking about it ever, so be warned.
It's rare that you don't mention New Vegas on a weekly basis anyway. It's a tough time. Mine would just be whatever Naughty Dog are doing next. I want whatever their next new IP is, because this is the longest time we've gone without a new IP from them. And obviously Last of Us was 2013, and I just want to know what that studio have in the works for their next thing, because it's been rumored as a sci-fi game for a while. I know it's not specifically Sony, but it is Sony first party. I want to know what that is, and I guess as well on the specific Sony side, I want the new PlayStation 5 dashboard stuff to roll out, because there's just so many weird issues with how they collate their games and the way everything's organized, the way the PlayStation Premium menus work. I just think there's tons to be sorted out with that. Like, stop listing PS2 games or PS1 games as PS5 games. Like, what the hell are you guys doing over there? And tell me somewhere other than the blog when you finally sort it out. Next question from Jacob Sawyer, who says, next year we're going to see Insomniac throw down with the kings of the superhero genre, Rocksteady. Who do you think will come out on top? The potential for boss fights is amazing in Suicide Squad Killer Justice League, but do you think they'll throw one level, and do you think they'll throw one level at the end as a tester for a potential Superman game? Now, what Jacob Sawyer is getting at is that next year will be Spider-Man 2 on PlayStation versus, in theory, versus the Suicide Squad game. Where are you guys at on this? I couldn't care less about the Suicide Squad.
No?
No, personally, I don't care about Suicide Squad.
So we're ruling out Lord of the Rings. We're ruling out Final Fantasy. We're ruling out Suicide Squad. James Dowse, I ask you, is there anything
what do I like
that isn't Mario Galaxy? Like? And Fortnite.
That is a good question. Submit it next week and I'll answer it.
No, I've rinsed you there. I'm sorry. With this, right, I think everything I've seen from Suicide Squad, Killer Justice League, looks a little bit iffy. I would agree. You know, I don't know if I love the approach that has been taken. I would have personally preferred Rocksteady to make a Superman game, just straightforward, a Superman game. However, what I love about that Arkham trilogy is its ability to surprise. You know, even going into the end of Arkham Knight, where you get those levels where you play from the point of view of the Joker and it suddenly becomes a first-person shooter. Like, that's what I'm excited to see in this game, and I hope there are moments like that that subvert our expectations and give you that extra level of spectacle that I think similarly Insomniac Spider-Man did so well. You know, that in a lot of ways was a very basic Spider-Man game, but then it would throw you with certain sequences that were more surreal, that took risks. And I just hope that they are games that take risks. And I do think that the ball is in Spider-Man 2's core. I think now that Insomniac has been purchased by Sony, you would imagine they have even more resources. It's going to be one of the most, if not the most, anticipated games of that year, and it has to succeed. And I just hope that they are able to build on a foundation and, you know, come out on top. I think mm-hmm. that Suicide Squad, for as good as it may be, is building something new. Even though it's set in the Arkhamverse, it has a bigger uphill battle, I think, than Spider-Man. So I think Spider-Man will win.
Oh, there's a whole, I mean, as a ground floor thing for me, I care more about a story than around a multiplayer game. But I also just, I think the Suicide Squad game is another Avengers or another Gotham Knights. I think that's what they're building. Like the fact that they keep emphasizing the four-player co-op stuff and the way that the mission design looks, where it's very, it looks like it's defend this point, go to this next point, do this stuff as a group. And it just feels like another one of them. And it feels like it was made for a world where that stuff had taken off, which is what Avengers was made for as well, and Anthem and everything like that. So my gut feeling is that that's what that'll be. And they'll barely be comparable other than just being superhero stuff.
It's going to be interesting to see, man. It's going to be really interesting to see.
Next couple questions. One from Elfar Oliver, who says, when's the next Chatty Faces? Also, is Dr. Manhattan depressed because he's blue or vice versa? And will there be a better game this year than Stray? Well, in regards to Stray, that game is reviewing very, very well. I've not seen anything else other than you can nuzzle cats and knock cans off tables. But that might be all I need. I don't know about the rest of you guys.
I don't even know what that game is about. I just know that you can be a cat and bump into things, which is 10 out of 10 material for me. Game of the year.
It's like a cyberpunk city where there's no humans. They're all robots. I guess it's like a big mystery thing. I didn't realize it was published by Annapurna Interactive until like yesterday when I looked at the store listing. So yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm curious how that's going to roll out.
Month. I have been telling you to how excited I am. It's
it
great.
Does look great. I've been there for the car. I go for the car. I stay for the cyberpunk ephemera. I've not. I've always been curious about that game. But yeah, I think this that it looks potentially very on rails. That it just sort of hold forward, go bit. But I hope you can do more in that world itself. Dr. Manhattan, I just have to assume it's because he has all the powers of the god and everything seems inconsequential to him, which is how Sony feels most years.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Manhattan, he's got a lot of problems. He's got the weight of the world quite literally on his shoulders. I wouldn't like that. I don't even like the responsibility of choosing what's for tea. He has the power to change the fabric of our lives and reality. So hell yeah, man, you'd be down.
You can conjure any meal at any time. Does that mean that you eat everything, or does it just have complete selection paralysis and you just end up having a chippy tea?
I think that's a good power, to be honest. I think you could just conjure what you want, because you're not always craving everything, are you? Sometimes you want a chippy tea, sometimes you might want a Mackey's, and now with those powers, you can just like vroom, right in your face.
Endless popcorn chicken.
Endless popcorn chicken!
Just out your wrist, just sort of Spider-Man it. Give me popcorn chicken. When's the next Chatty Faces? Whenever we can get people together. Same thing as with the quizzes. We just need to get a bunch of people in a studio and then point a camera at them and throw questions at them. So hopefully soon, but we will see. It depends if we all survive the rest of today based on the fact that we're almost on 40 degree heat.
I really like the last Chatty Faces we did, you know? Like, not that I don't like them all, but I thought, you know, after we've had a bit of a break from them, I was really reinvigorated about that. So yeah, hopefully once we sort out everything in the office and stuff, we get them rolling, because I would like to see them become a regular staple once again.
Yes, yeah. Same. I think it's for a while, for a long time, we had them. There was one every week. And it's just the kind of thing where we need people in the office. You need people to be able to hop into the studio. And that goes up against all the pandemic stuff and all the organization stuff, all the same things that we said before. But with the Chatty Faces live in our hearts, and we'll do more as soon as we can. Final question from BDub3815. Which video game series has the best music, and why is it Mega Man? Now, that's a hell of a shout for Mega Man. I'm not against the Mega Man. But if I was going to go with a whole franchise for the best music, it might have to be Mario. It just might have to be Mario. Taken as a whole.
Benjamin Richardson, who used to write for us and was amazing, his bells are ringing at that spot. Yeah,
he just looked up somewhere. He feels it on the wind.
You know what? Good thought. I'm not as much of a video game musics man as you two are. Ooh. So I'm just going to say, for me, good thinking, Metal Gear Solid. I think, you know, the different tones in that, the ambient music in those games are incredible. They set an atmosphere. I love it. And the main theme of Metal Gear Solid 2 is one of the best main themes of anything ever.
I said to Mr. James Dowse and Dan Durkin that I thought Sonic's music was better than Mario, like overall. This is when I was doing the great replay of all the Sonic games across the last few months. And I kind of thought that Sonic's audio footprint overall, I think that individual songs like Mario's Dire Dire Docks or whatever are up there, but Sonic overall maybe has a stronger audio footprint than Mario.
Mario Galaxy, just as one singular game, beats the entirety of the Sonic catalog. It's true. But my answer to that question is Professor Layton games. If you've ever played them, fantastic soundtrack. Yeah,
really. Massive shout. Yeah, about that. I'm only going to throw in Sonic Mania. Sonic Mania's remixes. That contends with Mario.
Yeah, okay.
Some days. Anyway, as we've managed to stay alive, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I have been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by James Dowse.
Thank you.
And Josh Brown.
I'm going to shove an ice pop up my bum.
As well you should, and we'll catch you all next week.
Bye. I'm not really going to do that. It's going to go in my mouth. Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.